Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. When the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our Savior who meets all of our needs, both for our body as well as our soul, dear fellow redeemed. Was Jesus a great teacher or a great leader? Was he a great preacher or a great miracle worker? Was he a great prophet or a great rabbi? As we read God's word and study it, we find over and over and over again that Jesus was not just a one-dimensional Savior, but he's the all-encompassing, all-around, all-purpose Savior, the one and only Savior of mankind. He is the God-man, the Almighty Lord. He's in a class, he's in a league, all by himself. He did, and he does everything perfectly. And that's what our text this morning tells us, that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. Our first point is, he provides for our spiritual needs. Secondly, he also provides for our physical needs. The main reason Jesus performed miracles was to show that he was this all-sufficient Savior, that he was God in human flesh and blood, that he was the promised Savior, the Messiah, the one fulfilled, promised of in the Old Testament, now fulfilled in the New. And also in his miracles we see his great, deep compassion for suffering human beings. In this well-known miracle, we see the marking of a new portion of our Savior's ministry. Our text begins with, when he heard this, what did Jesus hear? He heard that John the Baptist had just been killed and was beheaded. This is now about 2 years into Jesus' public ministry. He lived more than a year and Jesus would be crucified. Up to this time, Jesus was openly seen by the people. He traveled through Galilee and Judea and Samaria even, went to Jerusalem. People crowded around him. And even though he'd still be seen by many people, in this last year of his life, he spent more and more time away from the people, away from the crowds, by himself with his disciples, to prepare them for the reason for his mission, his suffering, his dying on the cross, his rising back from the dead. After hearing about the beheading of John the Baptist, we're told that Jesus went by himself, actually with his disciples, across the Sea of Galilee to the eastern side to be alone for some rest, probably meditation, sorrowing over John's death. But when the people heard that, they began to walk on the southern shore of the Sea of Galilee to meet Jesus. So when Jesus got to the side of the Sea of Galilee, he saw a huge crowd of people coming toward him. And we're told he was filled with compassion. Jesus had come to the solitary place for peace, for rest, for quiet time, to be alone with his disciples. But the people followed him. What if you were a doctor and you went on vacation and your patients followed you? What if you were a teacher and you went on vacation and your students followed you? What if you were a pastor and you went on vacation and your members followed you? All wanting, all needing to be healed, to be taught, to be preached to. We'd probably say, don't bother me now, I'm on vacation. Can it wait? Come to me when I get back. But not Jesus. That's what he came for. He came to serve mankind. As you said, Matthew said when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Mark tells us he saw them as sheep, lost, wandering, without a shepherd. The way Jesus looks upon us needy human beings is far different than the way anyone else looks upon us. He looks at us with perfect love and compassion. His feelings for lost mankind are not just sympathy for us, but a compassion that knows exactly what each one of us needs. The word compassion literally means his inwards were moved. His bowels were moved. Jesus had a feeling within inside himself he needed to help these people. He needed to bring to them what they needed. So in spite of his need for rest and his desire to be alone with his disciples, we're told that he spent the whole day teaching them many things, speaking to them about the kingdom of God, and healing those who were in need of healing. Notice how Jesus meets their needs. In the Gospel of John, that also has this event recorded, we're told the people came because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. But Jesus saw in this crowd of people a far greater disease than the disease of their body. They were all diseased with sin. And so putting first things first, he spoke to them. He proclaimed the word of God to them. He spent time revealing to them the things of the kingdom of God, revealing to them that he was the Savior of all of mankind, proclaiming to them how they could have spiritual healing for their souls, giving them the bread of life, his word. What a day-long, scrumptious, wondrous meal that must have been. All day long, sitting there, listening to Jesus talk to them, bringing the word of God, feeding their souls. Then he healed those who needed healing. And then he fed them. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach that crowd. They came to him for healing. But he is saying, in essence, first things first. First, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you so that your soul is filled with spiritual blessings of life, forgiveness, joy, peace, happiness. Then I'll heal your diseases. And then I'll take care of your physical needs for food. And that's one of the lessons that our Savior is teaching us this morning, too. We have many needs in this world, many needs in our life, but the greatest needs we have, far greater than any other need in this world, are our spiritual needs. Jesus came to take care of that first and foremost. But we too have the disease of sin. We were conceived and born in sin, dead in sin. We're like lost sheep ready to plunge over the cliff of damnation into everlasting death. But Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came to deliver us. We needed forgiveness. He earned it for us. We needed righteousness. He provided his own. He was perfect in thought, word, and deed, and then he gives us that righteousness through faith. We need to be set free. He redeemed us. We need to be ransomed. He paid the ransom price. We need peace. He brought about peace between us and Heavenly Father by giving the sacrificial offering of peace. We needed life and immortality. He raised himself from the dead and lived forever, assuring every one of us of everlasting life in heaven. We need strength and courage to face the trials, the problems, the troubles, the temptations in life. He's our strength. And through his words of promise and his word, he gives us the courage to go say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And to say with the Apostle Paul, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And since he has done this great act, this loving act of saving us through his life and death and resurrection, we can be assured that Jesus will meet every single physical need that we have on this earth. Jesus did heal the sick and the diseased. He did feed them. But first, he took care of their spiritual problems. But he didn't feed them until he first laid a test upon his disciples. Matthew summarizes this test in these few words. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Well, the disciples looked around, and all they could scrounge up were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That wouldn't even be enough to feed the 12 of them, plus Jesus. In Mark's gospel, we're told that the disciples calculated in their heads that it would take almost 200 days' wages to pay for enough food to feed such a large crowd as that. And so Jesus' command, you give them something to eat, left them totally helpless and lost. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted them to realize that they were totally helpless to help any of these people with their physical needs. They were totally helpless to even help themselves with their physical needs. He wanted them to realize that without Jesus, they are lost and helpless. Well, they got that first part of the lesson. But then he also wanted them to see that he would be the one who would be able to solve the problem and take care of them, even as he took care of the spiritual needs earlier. And that part of the lesson, they miserably failed. They forgot. But all the other miracles they had seen in the past 2 years, like the very first one, Jesus changing water into wine. If he could do that, he could surely feed all these people with food that he could just make up if he wanted to. They didn't learn from the lessons, the miracles of the past. And their answer to Jesus shows not only a lack of faith, but also a spirit of despair. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then John's gospel, we find out that Andrew adds, but what are they among so many? So we see here in our text, if you could pick up your bulletin, you'd see a reflection of yourself and of myself. Then we see the problems and troubles and trials of our life, we see ourselves doing much the same thing. Looking for help in every place that we can, but not always looking at Jesus. And then realizing, this problem is insurmountable. This trouble, this temptation is just impossible to overcome. In few and simple words, Matthew describes the miracle. Jesus tells his doubting disciples, get the people, set them in 50s and 100s all over the hillside. He takes the few loaves of bread and the 2 fish, says a prayer, breaks it, and gives the disciples, I go on for another 2 hours. Because they took all the food to all the people, and they ate, and they were filled. The word there in the Greek for filled is a word for feeding and fattening up an animal. They were filled. All 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, and then there were 12 baskets full left over, more than they even began with. Amazing. Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. He loves us dearly. He cares for every single one of our needs. Do we have needs? Emotional? Physical problems? Spiritual problems? Financial problems? Do we have loved ones who are going through illnesses, diseases, or other problems in life? Are we facing some mounting concerns for bills, or aging, relationships, or a multitude of other troubles that come in our lives? May we not be like the disciples and despair. May we first run to Jesus and to his word for help, knowing that we can't solve the problems ourselves. We can't take care of all of our troubles. We can't heal our diseases. We can't forgive our sins. But Jesus does, and he has. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This miracle underscores what we heard last Sunday in our second scripture reading, which is from the letter to the Romans in chapter 8, where Paul wrote, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Jesus met our greatest need when he came into this earth, became one of us, to be our substitute, to give himself as a sacrifice for all of our sins, to pay for the guilt and punishment of every single one of us, and then rose from the dead to assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life. His righteousness is our righteousness, and our sins were given to him. His death brought us life. And he continues to meet our spiritual needs through the work of the Holy Spirit, through his word, upon our souls. The same Savior who fed these 5,000 men, not counting women and children, says to you today, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." What a blessing that this morning we have had and are having this special spiritual meal, his gospel. We started with the appetizer, opening hymn, and absolution. Then we had a three-course meal. First, second scripture reading, and now the sermon text. And we'll end with the dessert, the announcement of peace to each of us through our triune God. And then God says, "And all your physical needs, I'll take care of them as well, as I will." May we eat and drink to our full of this spiritual food for our soul's sake. Let's rise and join our hearts together in prayer. Feed thy children, God most holy. Comfort sinners, poor and lowly. O thou bread of life from heaven, bless this food thou here hast given. As these gifts the body nourish, may our souls and graces flourish, till with saints in heavenly splendor, at thy feet due thanks we render. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.